chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. And this is an expository preaching. You'll get the good message shortly. Your brother Shanks will get up here, and he's got it well organized and outlined, and he has a point when he gets done. I have 30 points that you won't get half of, but we'll try to make it work for you a little bit anyway. I figure if I throw enough food on the floor, somebody's going to get something, amen? That's just how it works out. Isn't that how you feed your kids? You just throw it at them, and hopefully it'll get down their throats eventually. That sort of thing. They'll pick out what they like, etc., and this type of thing. So Colossians chapter 2. I find the book of Colossians a very interesting book. It talks mostly about Jesus Christ and you and him and who he is and what we are in him. Amen? And the beautiful thing about being saved is that you have Christ in you, but you are in Christ. Isn't that kind of strange how that works out? And so there you go. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. We thank you for your grace, and God, that you'll have your way. We thank you for your kindness. Lord, letting your folks get together, have the Bible, and be able to sing hymns. And Lord, having eaten and had some fellowship, and now here we are with some preaching time. And Father, it's just wonderful. It really is. It's, you know, folks wonder about Christians and where we have fun and why, you know, we just don't look like we're enjoying ourselves. But it just doesn't get much better than this. And we thank you for that and appreciate your presence with us. I suppose having you makes all the difference. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Now, isn't that interesting? Now, the word Laodicea occurs here. We know that we are in the Laodicean church age. Amen? Isn't that interesting? And when you read about Laodicea in the book of Revelation, I tell everybody, you know, they always say, well, America is not in the Bible. Well, it is. It's in Revelation 3:17. "For he richly increased the goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, poor, miserable, and naked." Amen? That's who we are, amen? We don't need God anymore, so we just go on about our business and do what we please, when we please, and how we please, because we got it figured out. And the Lord rebuked that church in such a way, but as you read down through there, what happens is you discover that he doesn't have any confidence in that church repenting. I don't know about you, but I read that, and I see this kind of half-hearted, well, you know, get some eye salve and maybe you can see, etc. But then he says this, "But if any man," you know, "I'm going to knock at the door. If any man answer, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." Right. And I thought, cool. You can still have God, amen? Yeah. And I thought that was rather interesting. So think about that in the context of Laodicea and the context of what we're going to talk about here. It says, Paul says that he has great conflict. Now that's within himself, because he hadn't seen them in the flesh. He hadn't been able to speak to them specifically. And you know, Paul's a peculiar fellow because God gave him a lot of stuff. And God used him to minister to many churches and many people. And it was him that needed to be there. Now, he wrote letters, etc. Thank God for that. We have them and so forth. But it's kind of a pure thing. Paul didn't think highly of himself because of the revelations. But he knew he had something, amen? Right. And he knew he had stuff that people needed, and so he wanted to give it to them. It's not like he was arrogant about who he was and what he was as far as what he knew. God made sure of that when you read about what God did to him to keep him humble. I'm going to stay humble on my own. I'm just going to, you know, I'm good, okay? I don't need to, I don't want any help for that, amen? But he had a conflict because he couldn't get to them. He says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Doesn't that sound good? That just sounds good. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. Man. You know, when you're saved, you're supposed to get involved with some Christians. Amen? You're not supposed to just hang out where you like to hang out, or over there, but you know, they didn't shake my hand last time. Well, get over it. I had a friend of mine call me. He finally got his daughter and her two children to go to church with him at some place. He doesn't go to church very regular anyway. And they were all stressed out because they weren't dressed well enough. Who cares? You know, some folks still go to church and look like they did it on purpose. They didn't look like they were going to Walmart. They just woke up, you know, and they had, oh, let's go to Walmart. You know, in their pajamas and their slippers and whatever and so on and so forth. Nobody goes to Walmart on purpose. It seemed like they just go there by accident. They just fell off the back of a turnip truck. Let's go to Walmart. Yeah, okay. Exciting. Well, you know, when you go to church, you should look like you meant to. Amen? Sure. Not like you just were, you know, working in the yard and say, drop there, oh, let's go to church, you know, that type of thing. It says you look like you meant to. So these folks happen to do that. And they're all kind of nervous because they didn't think they'd fit in. You haven't been there yet. But it's odd how people think about that. And the thing is, church is a place where folks go because other Christians are there, and you go there so you can become one. You can join together. You can learn about each other. You can learn to love one another. You can have a good time with each other or not a good time, whatever, but you're knit together. Right. Knit. Yep. Knit. You know when a bone broken and it joins back together, they say it's knit? Isn't that weird? Because my wife has knitted. She's done that. And she's banging needles, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, you get this ball of long, stringy stuff. And you make it into something you can wear. Isn't that weird? It's strange. You just take this and you just keep looping, loop, 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 you just keep doing it. It's like when I was a kid and I see this big brick building. And I say, they couldn't have put those in one at a time. There's thousands of them. I found out they put them in one at a time. Yeah. Blew my mind. I could not, one at a time? Don't they come in a big sheet? You just stand it up there? I couldn't get that, amen? I have a hard time understanding the fact that you just make little knots and then put it on and wear it someplace, amen? Yeah. It seems illogical. Yeah, I make a lot of little knots, amen? Yeah. And that's kind of how it goes with the brethren. It takes a lot of work sometimes to make this thing look like what it's supposed to look like. And you got all the parts get together, you got everything lined up just right. My wife would do something, she crochets, you know, she's doing this, up. Oh, rip, 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 rip. She goes all the way back down here. Why? Who's going to notice that except you? Nobody, okay? And then she puts it all back together again. It blows my mind. You know, if I'm building a house and I got a stud that's not long enough, it's staying right there. I'm sorry. I'm not taking it out because I need to put a longer one in. Sorry, that's it. Just put another couple of nails in it. It's not going anywhere. I'm going to put something on it. Anyway, who's going to see it? Amen? So it's kind of peculiar that the brethren need to be put together sometimes. Some every now and then you got to rip it out. Do it right, amen? You all think you get it right the first time, or the third time anyway. It's not how it works. Knit together takes time, and it takes work, and it takes application. And some people just can't commit themselves to that kind of a thing. It's odd. Now, I never thought of it when I was first saved. I never thought that. I never looked at it that way. I was in it for myself. I was just having a good time. And the brethren, I like the brethren. I just got to like them. They were good people, amen. I enjoyed them. And I found out they weren't all as good as they should have been. But the thing is, they were still Christians, amen. They were still brethren. And after a while, you kind of, you know, you get over that place where it gets, this is nuisance. Then you kind of get on the top. You say, oh, it's not too bad. And then you're on the other side, you say, oh, we can make it. Because you got to get over the brethren, amen. That New Testament was written to tell you how to get along with them. And it says you got to put up with them. Really? Yes, really. They put up with you. You put up with them. It's mutual. You do it with a smile, and your heart's comforted, and it's called love. That's love, okay? That really is. That's a tough word, I know. But in Baptist circles, that's just, you know, who does that? But the thing is, this is what Paul's talking about, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Oh, that sounds good. Wouldn't you like to be in a place like that? Would you like that to happen regularly? Well, it's your fault when it doesn't. Amen? You're not letting God do what he wants to do. That's what God's doing. He's the one doing the knitting. And it's going to take a little time. Amen? Being knit together in love. Oh, I love this. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Huh. That means you might know something after a while. That means you might catch on if you stick with it. You know, there's things you learn after hanging around with the brethren about God and about people that you just don't, you can't find the book that has all that in it. It just comes. And it's through Jesus Christ. And it's people. And it's his people. And it's who he loves and who he cares for that you got to learn to love and care for. Why can't you love whom God loves? Wouldn't that be good? Just to love the people God loves? I mean, show me a Christian God doesn't love. You know, Knothead and Airhead and Beam, you know, whatever you call them, the twins, whatever, you know, idiots, etc. God loves them.
Well, I love them. I don't have to like them.
Yeah, you do. You have to humble yourself and be gentle and be kind and be gracious to all the brethren. Because that's how God is with us. Why can't you? We want to be like Christ.
Yeah, I want to heal people and you know, whack the Pharisees and drive out the money changers.
That's not it, okay? You want to love the brethren like he loves us. And deal with them and help them and encourage them like he does. You know, God's never, ever, ever been unkind to me. He has never mistreated me for one second. That's amazing to me. Because I deserved it. I love it. I like it. And I enjoy it when brethren are kind to me in spite of me. Because they have to be most of the time. That's just the way it works out. But you know, it's not everybody can handle that. But here it says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Riches, riches. It's rich to understand how God does things and who God is and what God is and how he works, etc. It's rich. It does something more for you than money could ever do. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. If you look up in the previous chapter, verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You'd think there'd be some great thing there. You think there'd be some real deep thing there. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ain't that something? That's how God looks at it. The riches of the glory of this mystery. Christ in you. You have to ask yourself, why would Christ care to be in me? Of all the places he could be, in me? He's got to have better sense than to hang around here. But he does, yet he does. And he chooses to. Ain't that something? Well, we'll get to the kicker here. It says in verse 3, in whom are hid, oh, I love this. In whom are hid all the treasures. Didn't say some. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, this world just doesn't get it. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That means 90% of the people out here don't have a clue about how to live, how to behave, how to get along, how to make life work, or anything else. Because they don't first fear God. If you go to a college, the first thing you should ask the professor who's trying to teach you philosophy is, do you fear God? If he says no, you say, see ya, because you don't know anything. Because how can you know wisdom if you don't fear God? How are you going to get anywhere without that? It's a blessing when God causes you to fear him. Because then you'll learn something.
But it's hard to without that. In whom are hid? In Christ and God the Father are hid all the treasures. He uses the word riches and treasures. Because those things are good for you. They'll help you. Of wisdom and knowledge. Now that may not, you may not find out how to make money on the stock market. You know, we'd all like to see that in the Bible someplace. Because then we could legally involve ourselves. We'd love to find out. Maybe there's some mystery that's been written down in history and hidden in some book that somebody will discover how you can figure out how the lottery numbers for the next week. Amen? That wouldn't do you half as much good as that verse right there about the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Of wisdom and knowledge. But we don't get that. We don't think that way. Now, the next section is tells you how to be careful and what to be careful of. He says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." It says in verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Now, you can bet when you're saved, somebody's going to mess with you. Guarantee it. Somebody's going to try to entice you away from Christ or into something. Now, you know when the Bible says that you're only tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. Isn't it an interesting word, entice? That's somebody hanging something in front of you that you like and want. Somebody's trying to draw you away with something that is attractive to you or something that you're interested in. And normally, you know, that's like they always saying goes, if the devil showed up breathing fire with a pitchfork in his hand and horns and a long tail swinging around there, you wouldn't mess with him. He shows up in a three-piece suit and has a PhD, then he might be able to tell you something, amen? Yeah. Same devil. But the old guy's got some nice enticing words to make you think there's something going on that isn't. Right. Isn't it weird? Have you noticed how much of that there is in the world? It's like if you want to find some crazy idea to follow, there's plenty of them. The brethren are just being enticed. There's all kinds of things. You know, we all want to know the latest thing. You know, what's the latest doctrine that's, you know, really good? Is the church going to go through the tribulation or not? It's not, okay? I'll save you a lot of time on that. It's not. Well, has the first half of the tribulation been here and gone? Who cares? I'm going up before the rest of it. Is the earth flat or round? Who cares? I'm going to stay right on it. Amen?
They lied to you when they sent Buddy in space. That's just a Hollywood movie.
I don't care. Who really bombed the Twin Towers? I don't care.
Well, you should know what your government's up to.
No, I shouldn't. No, that's not going to help me sleep at night. I don't need all that stuff, but you know what's enticing? It appeals to your normal intellect, your natural curiosity. What's really going on? I don't care. I don't know, and I don't care.
Well, you can't pay attention to anything. You're like that.
Yeah, I can. I can pray. I can win souls. I can preach to my church. I can encourage the brethren. I can love God. I can help my family. I can love my wife. We can have a good time together.
Well, what's going to happen when it all falls down? The same thing is going to happen to you. You think you're going to fix it because you know better?
I knew guys, we're going to run away into the woods. Oh, there. Now, that's logic. You think they're going to chase you?
They come get me, I'll take them out.
Really? Have you seen the kind of warfare these guys fight these days? These are bad dudes. These boys, when they come for you, they ain't playing. When they pull a gun and point it at you, you will do what they tell you, or you will go to heaven. You know, those are your options, because they mean it. I'm not messing with these guys. You want me? You got me. Help yourself.
Going to torture you, make you talk.
About what? I don't know anything. I'll talk to you about Jesus Christ all day if you want. I can quote scripture for you. I'll help you. But what are you going to do to me? I'm nobody. Why am I going to worry about it? I don't understand all that stuff. And all I noticed is that it's distracting. And it appeals to your carnal, intellectual desire for entertainment and something new. You find that in Acts 17. They sat around all day to hear some new thing. That's interesting that it's called news. Now you can get it 24 hours a day. I got on my phone, I'm going to have to get rid of the app. It comes up, says, latest news. That's the same news we had last month. Yeah. It's just a different person. Yeah. I don't care. It goes on and on. Why worry about that sort of thing? Well, it's beguiling. Kind of distracts you away from what you're supposed to be doing. Keeps you away from praying. Amen?
Yes.
It'll keep you from soul winning. You won't have enough time to keep up with it. Everybody's so busy today. Busy. It's scary. They're so busy. They haven't got time for God, Jesus Christ, the Bible, church, or anything.
Yeah.
Busy. Beguiled. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Isn't that interesting? I'm absent in the flesh. It says, joying and beholding your order. Now, I don't understand all that. But I wonder who's really watching us and how knit we are together with people in many ways. I wonder if we're knit with folks that we don't see here regularly. I'm wondering how far that goes. I'm not going to get into that right now because I don't really understand it. But it says the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. There you go. Now, verse 6 says something that you should get. It's real simple. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, how'd you get saved? Well, you heard about the Bible. Somebody told you a Bible verse, gave you a tract that had a scripture on it. You were exposed to something to do with the scripture. Okay? And you got disturbed by something. Something bothered you. And it caused you to listen, and you realize that God had an account against you, and you accepted his judgment upon you and what he said about you. And you admitted the fact that you were in trouble and you needed to get out of that mess. So whether you were 5 or 50, you listened to whoever told you and you said something to God where you acted on what you believed. You believed what you heard, and then you acted upon it. And you got saved. That's as complicated as Christianity is. You hear the scripture, you get under conviction about what it says, it bothers you, you think about it, you ask the Lord about it, you take his judgment about what he says, you believe it, and you act upon it. If you believe it and don't act upon it, you don't get it. It's peculiar that's all the more complicated Christianity is. So you read the Bible, amen? You read the New Testament, amen? You run across verses there, and classic is, turn back to Romans chapter 12. Because it's just interesting in how that works in there. Talks about the body of Christ and so forth, and we may get to that this week or somebody else will, however it works out. And he comes down through there. Then he says this. In verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And you read all these things in your Bible reading, and you're done with that, okay? No. Those weren't written just to read.
Right.
They were written to do.
Right.
And you're supposed to pay attention to them.
Yep.
And sometimes you'll read them and you say, ooh, I probably didn't pay attention to that this Sunday.
oh, I probably should get that right. And then you act on it. Amen? And you say, well, there's a lot of those in there. Yeah, you're catching on. And yes, you have a responsibility to pay attention to them. They're there because that's how God wants us to get along one with another. That's how God wants us to respond to Him. The things we're reading here in Colossians are about what God wants us to understand in our relationship with Him and in the world, who He is and what He is. All these are important. You have to act upon them. You believe them and act upon them. It's not just for studying to get your doctrine. You believe them and act upon them. It's not any more complicated than that. If you don't act, you don't believe them. It's just lip service. You're just making God, you're trying to buy God off and hope He's happy with you like you are because you don't want to change anything. Because you don't think you have to. You're good enough. Or I can't do that. Well, of course you can't. You got to have the Holy Spirit to help you. God doesn't help you. You're not going to do it. Didn't He make it possible for you to get saved? What did you do about that? You just believed Him, didn't you? Well, you're still in that state. He'll make it possible if you just believe Him. He's already made it possible. But you have to act upon it to realize it. Until you do, you will not realize it. You think having the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction and leadership, etc., is something you're trained, you actually work at, etc. No, it's just it's believing. You reckon it so, you believe it. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted, verse 7, and built up in Him, and established in the faith. So, as you know, if I plant a tree, your pastor, he plants trees in his yard. Deers eat them, wind blows them over, but he keeps doing it. He's persistent, amen? And you plant a tree. Now, the day he plants that tree, it's got roots, it's got leaves, and it's got whatever else it's got, limbs and so on and so forth, trunk, branches, etc. It's there. There it is. It might be that tall, might be that tall. There it is. It's a complete tree, but it's got to grow. And it grows based upon what it gets out of the roots and what it gets out of the sun. The roots are where it gets the nutrients and water and so on and so forth. And the sun, hallelujah, works on it and it makes food. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? That's why they turn green. And they take bad air, get this, and make good air. Ain't that something? Air is like the spirit, amen? So it takes in the bad spirit and puts out a good one. Isn't that weird? But it's rooted, and roots make it work. Without roots, it don't work. Back, you have them out here, we have lilacs. And folks are concerned about hurting lilacs. You can't hurt lilacs. You cut off a lilac and stick it in the ground like that and water it. It'll grow. They're weird. You can take a bundle of them, lay them in the ground, throw a little dirt on the edge of them, and they'll actually grow. You don't have to do a thing to them. They're weird. That may not happen all the time, but it will happen. Not everything's like that. But they put out roots, and then off they go. You know, when you plant a seed, it puts a root down before it puts anything up. Because it's got to be fed. You've got to be rooted, and you've got to be grounded in the scriptures, in the truth. If you're not, you're not going to grow. Now, here's the other thing about growing, okay? Usually, if you plant a fruit tree, the first year is nothing on it, or a little bit. Second year, a little bit more, maybe not that much. Third year, starts putting it out. And it won't do it every year. But every now and then, it'll just load itself up and just about kill itself with the fruit. You see, you're supposed to bear fruit. But you got to be rooted. You got to be able to do that. And then you got to come around. But it's a natural process. And in the Holy Spirit, in Christ, It's as natural as breathing if you follow the principle of believing God and acting on it. That's all there is to it. Because it's rooted and built up in him is consistent with that previous verse. Now this built up is great stuff. Now I like things to be built, amen? And it's, we're in a day and age when building seems to be going like mad. I'll go places and I'll go buy development and I'll see these houses going up, and I just want to stop and go in and walk on the deck and can I put a nail in something? I just want to be a part of it. I like it. I want to build something, amen? And that's just the way it works out. But God's building, amen? And look in Ephesians chapter 2. This is cool because you got to get what God's doing. If you don't know what God's doing, you're not with it yet. Now watch this. He says in verse 19 of Ephesians 2, he says, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ. In whom, watch this, all the building fitly framed together. In other words, everything's where it's supposed to be. Groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Ain't that something? We're going to be a holy temple. That's what he's doing right now. You're a part of his temple. And this is what's going on. In whom ye also are builded, this is that knitting thing, together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ooh-wee. In other words, everybody that's saved has a place in this thing. Now, you know, it's an odd thing. When you build with steel or wood or stone, it doesn't move when you put it where it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to. You nail it in place, you mortar it in place, you weld it in place, you bolt it in place. It's where it's supposed to be, and you continue building. Amen? God's not that lucky. He's working with us. We slip and slide and move and get an attitude and weaken this spot, weaken that spot, etc. You've got to realize that when God puts you someplace, it's for a reason. Amen. And you don't get to pick where you're put.
Right.
I never asked the 2x4, would you like it over here? Or would this be better? No. Just stuck it there and nailed it. Didn't say a thing. And I hit it real hard and didn't make any noise at all. It's weird how that works. But we have seemed like we think we have options in this consideration.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like it there anymore. Well, so what? That's your place. Amen?
Amen.
Fill it.
Amen.
But what? Who cares? Why do you care where your God puts you? Doesn't he know better than you?
Sure.
Well, maybe not. He's not here right now. Yes, he is. He put you there. It's weird, isn't it? Folks are strange about that. It's an odd thing. We're in New Hampshire because that's where God wants us. And I look around, and he made it very clear he wants us there, and I'm thinking, why? Why? He said, well, that's not even a discussion. That's totally irrelevant. I said, yeah, I know it is. I was just curious. I'm not asking why so I can justify it. I'm just curious. There must be something here going on. I'm waiting. I'll find out eventually, I think. And if I don't, it doesn't make any difference. It's not my business to worry about where we are. My business to worry about him where we are. And, he's putting a building together, and that's kind of an outpost. That's kind of a long wing. That's way down the hall, it seems. I asked him, I said, is there anything in between in this country? Why am I in the northwest and now the northeast? Not only did he take me back to the northeast, he put me farther north. Hello? He said, well, I'm in the north, so I guess you're closer to me. Yeah. Okay. rooted and built up in Him. And that's what He's doing, amen? Yep. You ever feel like God's building, like you're being used for something? You know, you live most of your life, we do this. We live most of our life semi-conscious about what's around us. We only notice it when something occurs that causes us to have to pay attention to it. That is human nature. We're oblivious to most of what's around us. And it's an odd thing that we are not aware most of the time of exactly what's going on that we should be aware of for the glory of God, because we're not paying attention. We're only wrapped up in who we are, what we are, in our own little world. Christians should not be wrapped up in their own little world. You're a part of something much larger than that, a holy temple. You know, there's a place in Revelation that talks about a city. Amen? That comes down from God out of heaven. It's as a bride, isn't this weird, adorned for her husband. Weren't we the bride of Christ? Wouldn't it be wild if that's what God's building? Wouldn't that be crazy? And that's how glorious this is going to be. He's using living stones. Woo wee! That's getting exciting. Yep. And that thing's going to be alive. You talk about strange in the Bible in heaven, and so that's something else. And that's made out of gold, is it not? And adorned with these foundation stones, and isn't that going to be something else? Think about this. Now, all those stones, and I like rubies and emeralds and topaz and all that stuff, diamonds, I like diamonds too, and all that stuff, you know. And when you shine light on that stuff, it does wonderful things to it. Now, we only have them that big here. God makes them 1,000 miles long. And boy, when the light shines down through that thing, oh, man. And that's us. We're going to look good one day. Hang in there. Look at it now. You're thinking, I'm looking for something good down here, but I'm not saying much. But it'll be nice one day. If you stay with it, amen? I'm not going to go into any other details than that about that. I almost said something I shouldn't say. Establish in the faith as ye have been taught. It's weird how you have to be taught these things. I have folks in my church now that I don't think they've been taught a lot over the years, so I'm trying to help them. Amen. Encourage them. This type of thing. And, you know, it's not like I'm special in knowledge. It's not like I know special things. That's where I am, and this is what I do. But you have to be taught. I had to be taught. I still listen, try to learn some things. As you've been taught abounding, and isn't this weird, therein, isn't this weird, with thanksgiving? Huh? You're wrapping it up with thanksgiving? Yeah. Because you're not thankful for all He's doing. Because He's not doing enough, amen? He never does enough for us. Why in the world would you ever complain about anything? If you're saved and going to heaven. Got eternal life, the promises of God, the guarantees of God, the word of God, the truth of God, the power of God, the presence of God, and you find, oh, I had a bad day. Well, if you're sick, that might be a problem, but you can still thank God for being sick, amen? Because you're still sucking air, and you're probably going to get better most of the time, amen? Doesn't always happen, but it does happen. But we can whine and complain about things till there's no tomorrow. Next time you feel like complaining, change it and start saying, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for the thing that just happened that I'm complaining about. Thank you for it. And do it until you mean it. You might change your life. You never know. Don't you love it when you say to somebody, how's life? Well, let me tell you. Today, I got time for this. You know, at church, when you're the pastor, you stop asking people how it's going after a while. Certain people you don't ask at all.
Then it says this, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, there's a lot in there, and I'm not going to go into all that, but that's about 90% of what's going on around you. They're trying to make you rotten, spoil you. You spoil a child, they're useless, amen? You spoil fruit, you don't eat it. If meat gets spoiled, you throw it out. Anything spoiled, you shouldn't put in your body, amen? Unless you're really desperate. And then you should scrape it off. There was a woman in Alaska. Alaska? Yeah, I think it was Alaska. And she was up there where they hang the salmon out and they dry them and so forth. And she noticed it has this green stuff on them. And she says, I know I'm going to have to eat that one day. Oh, well. So sure enough, she was out there, the little Alaskan lady, and she says, here, have some fish. And she takes it. She closes her eyes. She takes a big bite out of it. When she opens her eyes, the little woman sitting there looking there said, you eat the green stuff too? I've heard that a long time ago. I always thought it was pretty interesting. It just goes to show you sometimes you want to be ask first. You know, you might want to ask first and how they do this. Amen? But things that are spoiled, you don't usually want to mess with. We came back from being away for 10 days or so from our motorhome once it parked in Vegas, and the freezer went bad. Power went out, freezer stopped. We had some meat in there. We never did get the odor out of the place, and I couldn't get near it for 3 days. Mrs. Barr, thank God I'm married, because I'd have just drunk the whole thing. I just driven the rig to some place and said it's yours, and I'm getting another one. Burn it. But she patiently pulled it out and gagged and hauled it out and threw it out, etc., and cleaned the place as much as she could, etc. But that's nasty. That is nasty. Spoil. Beware lest any man spoil you. When God said beware, beware. Through philosophy. Now, what does this mean? They're trying to mess with you in your unity in Christ, in your being knit together in love, and reduce the value of the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge that's in Christ and God. They're trying to take you away from that. So you might be like them, see. They want to make you like they are. Dumb, insecure, weak, etc. Because you bother them. Believe it or not, they give you the impression that they're arrogant and you don't have any sense, but they kind of want what we have. Joy, love, peace, gentleness, you know. They want that joy, they want that glory, they want that wonder that comes from being in Christ. They don't have the security of knowing the future like we do. They're trying to figure it out. I feel like telling them at NASA, there is no life on Mars, save the money. Yeah, you might find ice out there, but you're not going to find anybody living on it, okay? That's just how it works out. Could save thousands upon thousands and millions and billions, perhaps, of dollars. Feed the folks that are sick. We hear about that all the time, don't we? Give it to cancer research. Solve a problem. There's nothing out there. But they have to do that. Philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. On it goes, on it goes, on it goes, on it goes. Now, verse 9. For in him, I love this, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, this started out that we're in Christ, that we're knit together. It's in the Spirit. And we don't have to worry about all that other stuff because he's got it all figured out. He's got it all settled. All the fullness. And then it says this, and this is the kicker, verse 10. And ye are complete in him.
Ain't that something? You're all set. He's got it fixed. You're trying to fix the flesh and make it come up to standard. He's not trying to do that. He just wants to use it. But you're all set. In Christ, you're all set. Well, I don't understand this, don't understand that. It'll come because it's already there. You just haven't got it aware of it yet, but it's there. But you don't need it just yet because you don't know it yet. When you need to know it, you'll have it because it's there. You're complete in Him. Ain't that something? That's scary, isn't it? Why? You know, we look at that and we think, well, what? I mean, what? Surely there's got to be more. As you started this thing, that's how you walk with it. You believe God and act on it. The Holy Spirit will guide you. This is called living by faith. You don't have it figured out. It's living by faith. You take the step, and you, as God leads you. If you don't know what God wants of you, you got to find that out. If you find out the will of God, you're good. Because all you have to do is the will of God. And His will, He supports. He supports His will. You know, He's not going to hang you out to do the will, His will and say, I'll see if it works. Oh, you blew it. Didn't think you could do it. Nah, 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 nah. He's not like that, amen? That's how we think of it. But that's not how He is. He wants you to know His will, and He's going to tell you. You're just going to find out you can't do it yourself. You have to have Him. And when you find that and you have Him, do it. Yep. But there's no discussion.
Right.
Save it. You're not going to tell God no. Unless you really don't have any sense at all. You can say, okay, Lord, You got me into this thing, and we're going to get the rest of the way with You. Let's see what's going to happen. Should be interesting. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His provision, His care, His presence, His power. It's all about Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you walk in them. It's not hard. Not complicated. He's done all the work. He just needs you to submit to Him. Let Him take you where He wants you. Do with you as He wishes. That's what most of it's about in here. And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Who are we up against? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? Well, He's the head of all that stuff. We wrestle against it because they're not cooperating. But it doesn't mean we're losing or going to lose. Is He going to lose? He's not going to lose, is He? Last I checked, we win. We have the victory. It's ours. Why don't we act like it? Why are we afraid of anything? Why are we intimidated? We know God. You know, what's God scared of? What's messed with Him lately? What did He not know about ahead of time? You see, brethren, when you're in Christ, you're in the body. When you're in the body, it's God's work. When it's God's work, you just have to cooperate. It's not what you accomplish. When you cooperate, things get done because it's His power that makes it happen. When you try to do it yourself or tell Him you're not gonna, well, then you're out of it. You're part of that building that's kind of wavering and slipping, and it's not really staying where it's supposed to be. It's not where it's at. It's kind of fumbling back and forth. Stop it. We don't need that. Find out what God wants and give it to Him. He'll make it work because He's God. You're complete in Him. It's all together. Thank You, Father, for these things.